Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. The last time we tried to do this, it was rough, but now we're redoing the Kenya interview with Asher Murphy, the one and the only, the legend. So let's get into it. We're going to ask these questions to completion. We have only one other person in this room right now, and they're just relaxing. They're not going to talk. They'll be in the next episode. We're actually doing like somewhat of a marathon. We're going to plan on filming two episodes in one sitting. So he's just going to lay on the couch or the bed. And so Asher, a lot of the last podcast was incomplete. So we're going to give you as much time as you need with these questions. So I wanted to ask some questions about your early life, because I know that you spent, I think, a good 11 years in Kenya.
12.
I just wanted to ask, first question, did Kenya feel safe to you? And was there ever a moment that you didn't feel safe when you were there?
So we lived on like a gated community kind of thing, because our school was like all fenced in. We had security guards at every gate, so it was relatively safe. You know, obviously you're not always completely safe. You know, there's always that threat of, you know, terrorists and stuff, which was a very present that threat in Africa. Mm-hmm. As a kid, I feel like I was always sheltered from all those dangers that, like, you know, my parents had to deal with. Like, I feel like they really did a good job protecting me from that, and, you know, helping me not be scared about that kind of thing. I feel like I was really, like, sheltered from that. But there were certainly times, you know, we had multiple lockdowns, like, wherever the whole campus just go on lockdown, everyone's locking their house to make sure that everyone's safe. And that was for a, you know, number of reasons why that happened.
Can you give me one reason to why you would go under a lockdown, a such strict lockdown that you weren't maybe able to leave your room?
Yeah. So what happened was there'd be sirens, but they'd blare. Everyone has to lock their doors, close their windows, and go into one room of the house, usually like somewhere in the middle of the house or something. I think the most severe one we had, though, was for an actual reason, was just an unidentified guy on campus with a gun. No one knew who he was. He was just walking around. He wasn't harming anyone. He didn't shoot ever. He was just walking around. So everyone went on lockdown and they apprehended him pretty quick. But yeah, that was the most severe one that actually happened on campus. But
that's really scary. A lot of these situations, like these people, you don't know what these people are going to do. Mm-hmm. When somebody has a gun, you cannot assume the best in many situations. Like, you can't just assume that they're not going to do anything wrong. So of course you're going to be at a point where it's fight or flight. Yeah. And you guys had, it seems like, a procedure that you knew what to do. You knew that there was going to be a threat every once in a while. So you guys certainly knew how to take care of it. All right. Next question I wanted to ask was, I know you said like the community was closer, but now that I'm hearing about outside, like, you weren't allowed to go into the outside because that your community was gated. Were trips outside of your community almost as if, you know, getting in a car and going somewhere in San Diego? Was it like that? Did it have the same distance, or what? Did everything seem still closer?
So the thing is, supplies-wise, like shopping trips and stuff, that, like, going on a shopping trip was a big thing. Like, it's like an hour and a half ride, right? So usually that happens like once a month, maybe twice a month, where you get in a car with your family and go and do a shopping trip. Like, because, yeah, we had to drive like an hour and a half just to get to the nearest like shopping mall, which were in like the capital cities and stuff, like the main cities. As far as like community goes, we could go outside our community. There's a couple like local shops and like restaurants that we could just walk down to. And we do that often as like a little outing. But yeah, like the surrounding community around us was relatively safe, but like there were like times where like people would sometimes get jumped in their cars or stuff, you know, like, especially being like white people makes you like, you're assumed to be rich if you're white in Kenya, because you got there, you know.
Weird situation.
Yeah, like you're assumed to have money, so that already, you know.
That's weird. It seems like your community is pretty big, though. Like, it's almost like you have everything that you need inside of that little gated area.
Yeah, there was definitely, you know, there wasn't like a need for anything. You know, we had everything we needed, but all the houses were provided for by the school. All the, you know, we had our own water tanks, we had our own electricity, everything was, you know, on that campus. It was like the size of a college campus. So it was pretty big.
It's really big. Like SDSU, maybe?
Maybe not that big.
Yeah, that's a big campus.
Yeah, not that big.
It's insane. Yeah, that it's almost weird. Like how you mentioned that. They just assume that you're rich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, how else are you going to get to Kenya? You know,
weird situation. Yeah. Yeah, not really taking in the part that you're going there to work. You're going there to save people in their eternal life. You're going right. to go teach them about God. Mm-hmm. I wanted to another big question that I wanted to ask is, what were your first thoughts about education in America? You were there with a school in Kenya for a good amount of years. You came and you went. You came back to America, or not back to America because you were born there, obviously. But you had trips, so you got a. You got a sight of what America was like, but you never really had an experience inside of a school until you finally moved here. So I just wanted to ask you, what were your first thoughts about the American school that you first went to when you came here?
Well, so I've been to a lot of different American schools, actually. I've been to two public schools in Pennsylvania. I've been homeschooled here, and I've also gone to a public school here. So, and also obviously, you know, the school I'm at right now.
Right.
And yeah, my first public school in America was probably third grade, I think, here at Bay Park Elementary. I don't really remember much from that, honestly, but it was fine. The biggest difference as far as like the schools I remember is, I don't know. I mean, kids were a lot louder, I feel like, and more like...
They're more outspoken, maybe.
Yeah, and
bigger personalities, just overall bigger presence in the room, maybe.
Yeah,
it's weird. I've never traveled outside of the country yet. I'm going to this summer, but I don't really. That's why this interview, honestly, to me, is a pretty big deal because I've never traveled outside of the country, let alone the continent. And you know, it's weird in the world. Certain countries are just so different from each other.
Yeah.
Yours doesn't sound as far as many people would think to America.
Yeah.
Your community was probably pretty normal. It was probably very normal. All right. On the next question, I wanted to ask you, which type of celebrations did you have in Kenya that you didn't have here? You know, holidays, as you said previously.
Yeah. We didn't really celebrate as many as like the Kenyan, like the natives did, like, because, you know, we weren't native Kenyans, so they did have an Independence Day that they celebrated. Mm-hmm. They had something called Multicultural Day that our school did, which was really fun. We'd like, since our school represented so many different countries, we would I think it was like 50 different countries.
That's a lot.
We would have like a festival kind of thing at the school where we'd have like games and activities and like bunch of different you know, like foods and cuisines and, you know, just a bunch of different like cultural activities that you could do around the school. And then we'd have a flag ceremony at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Where like people would, you know, walk down representing their flags and stuff. It was super cool. So that was a holiday we had every year. That was really fun. We celebrated most of the holidays Americans do. We didn't do like the minor stuff like St. Patrick's Day or
right.
Easter wasn't as big, but it was definitely there. Our school did it, but like the surrounding communities didn't really do it. We didn't do Halloween ever.
Ever?
Yeah.
We can understand that.
Yeah. We had a harvest festival, I think. But like, it wasn't really Halloween. It was just like, we did like fun games for candy.
Thanks for representing America for us.
I wasn't that guy since I wasn't born in America. But...
Oh, yeah. Fair. But I assume since, like, your parents are definitely from here that you guys, you'd be carrying the flag around.
Well, there are so many Americans there.
Oh, yeah. Was it, were most of the kids that are from a different country from America there?
I'd say most of the station kids, like, the kids of, like, the teachers were American. But as far as, like, boarding school students came, a lot of them weren't from America. Most of the boarding school kids were, like, from places like Korea, China, India was a big one. Other parts of Africa was another big one. You know, like really just everywhere. There's
pretty much. Sounds like it would be harder to almost name a place where somebody didn't come from than did come from.
Yeah, it was very mixed for sure.
Are you fully adapted yet?
To America?
Yeah.
I'd say so. It's been almost 2 years now. It'll be 2 years in July. Yeah, I mean, I've been to America a lot before I came here for good. You know, home assignments every 4 years, I think it was. We'd come back for like 6 months. Yeah.
Well, this place is pretty different too.
I was surprised when I came back. I've been here. I've been here on home assignments. You know, I know what it's like. I figured it wouldn't be that different, but coming back and moving here was crazy different. I was not expecting that, but I think I'm settled in.
It's like a lot of the way we look at all the other countries. Like, I can't believe they do that. Like, they use that system. They do this like that, and then really realistically. It seems like we're pretty different.
Yeah, I think, any other country coming to America, I think would be like, what the heck is this?
Pounds, miles.
You know, very independent country, that's for sure.
Yeah. Sometimes less, sometimes more. Yeah, I mean, I know that you prefer Kenya, but I just want to know, what is something about America that you feel is better than Kenya?
Well, obviously, transportation, a lot better. Roads, insanely better. You know, they're all smooth. The majority of Kenyan roads are just dirt and rocks. It was really bumpy, you know. You're holding on for dear life, just running down like a hill, because it's all like rocky. And there's also a lot more options as far as shopping and, you know, food. Obviously, it's much more civilized. Definitely.
People like to sometimes call this place like the money capital of the world or something. Like, it's like, because America is almost like your boarding school. It's like cultures from all across the world coming together and forming America. But we were mostly British at the beginning. And it's almost like you could honestly compare it to that. But yours was, your community seemed as though it was, had a really strong complex. Like, everybody was very close, as you said.
Yeah.
Everybody knew each other. It was like one big family.
You know, yeah. And the thing is, like, you're stuck on that campus with those people. You know what I mean? Like, the best part about it is, if you, like, you know, you could walk to your friend's house and just go hang out with them for the day, you know. Everyone lives within a mile of each other. And, yeah, like, oh, we're done to school. I'm just going to go up to my friend's house. You didn't have to, like, tell your parents where you're going, because it's all in the same area, you know. You can be out till, like, 9, 10 o'clock at night and just come back. It felt super safe on campus, but I think everyone knew that, you know, it wasn't that safe as far as the outside went.
What happened when a kid would try and, like, leave? Did that ever happen?
No. Yeah, I mean, no one had a reason to leave. No one had a place to go if they did leave. It was a very isolated. We lived on like this big hill. It was like, I think it was like 1,700 feet up or something.
Whoa.
So it was perfect weather, that's for sure. But, yeah.
I mean, it sounds like everybody there was not like they were going to escape. Everybody there seemed pretty chill, but you would almost think that every once in a while, every maybe couple generations over there, maybe every couple years, some kid, maybe he probably wasn't there very long, but there would always be like one kid that would do mischief. And you would think to yourself that it wouldn't be out of his character for him to do something like that.
That's actually surprising that I think about that, that never happened. You know, it's something that would happen. I guess the reason it never happened is just because, I mean, RVA is a great, the RVA is what my school was called. It was a great community. I feel like if people did leave, they literally have nowhere to go, you know?
Because you guys are, it sounds like you guys are in the middle of nowhere.
Pretty much. I mean, we're about an hour away from like a, you know, civilized town, I'd say. And then an hour and a half from like the capital of Kenya, which is Nairobi.
Right. So it's kind of like, kind of reminds me of many places in the state of Arizona. Reminds me of many places in the state of Arizona where it's almost like there's nothing around you within a 100-mile radius. There's maybe like one gas station.
Yeah, we had one gas station that was like literally right outside our front gate, which was nice. They actually put it in like because the school moved there.
Mm-hmm.
And right next to our, like, there's like down the road from our community, there's like a restaurant, a little something called a Duca, which is like a store. And they had like stuff for super like low prices, and it was really nice. And the thing is, you get to know those people so well, like the shopkeepers and the restaurant.
Your friend. They're your friend.
Yeah. You know, you get to make friends within the community. And we'd have these people called houseworkers, which they would basically, it was like a job for them. They'd come on and they'd like attend to like different houses and dorms, you know.
Yeah.
It'd be just like providing employment for some of the people in the community. And you get to know them super well and their families and their kids. And we'd invite different schools from around the community to come onto our campus and play with us. Like we'd play like soccer with them. We'd let them use our like playground that we had, which was really big and awesome.
That's
like,
awesome. The kids
that, you know, haven't seen one like that before. So yeah, we did a bunch of community stuff as far as like just, providing
for them. Sounds like a really cool organization. Just people. You guys all, it seems like you all just had the best intentions in mind with what you were doing. You guys were bringing to the community what a lot of places in the country didn't really give.
Yeah, definitely.
You guys were a needle in a haystack in terms of what you offered to that place, and what you guys did was it was really amazing. You know, I know it's a nonprofit.
Yeah.
Makes it even better.
They get money from tuition.
But yeah. That's it. But you guys are really just putting everything you have into the bettering of a community.
The way that the teachers were paid is they weren't paid, actually.
They volunteered?
Yeah, they were volunteers. That's what our family did. We were volunteers. We didn't get paid for any of the teaching they did. All we got was, you know, a house that was provided. But we lived off of supporters and income from other people, you know, people supporting us. We didn't make a salary. That's how our family.
I'm going there for the apocalypse. You guys are going to make it. If that place would be most likely to make it out of many places that I could think, because you guys just seem so independent.
Yeah.
You guys would grow your own stuff if you had to.
Yeah, we had farms around too and stuff.
There you go. You guys were gated, you had security. Nothing's getting in there. Oh, not even Air Force One. Could fly through there. I know you plan, though, to return after graduation, most likely.
After college.
After college.
If I go, it'll be after college, but yeah.
Okay, so what's your plan? You have a plan?
No. You know, I want to return as a missionary, but in order to do that, I definitely have to go to a college, probably learn the language, do some, you know, missionary college, I think. But it has to be after college for sure. I don't really have a plan set in stone. I probably should start thinking about that.
And man, if you really want to do it, I think thinking of a plan is a good idea. You might return. Who knows? You might return to Rift. You might return there. You might return there and start teaching.
Oh gosh, I don't know if I'm a teacher. We'll see.
Times change. That you got about like 8 years to think about that.
Eight years
to really start thinking.
Oh my gosh.
8 years. That's a long time. But
that's a long time.
If you do go back, you'll probably have a plan. You'll probably know what you're gonna do by that time.
Time will tell.
Time will tell. Well, that's going to wrap it up. This has actually been a relatively short podcast. We kept it under 20 minutes for you guys, but a lot of the information was so condensed. We kept it formal. A lot of the information was super condensed. You guys heard a lot. He had a lot to say. He really loves that place. So without further ado, I'm going to tell everybody that's listening to this right now, if you have friends, if you have family, tell them to listen. If you don't have friends, if you don't have family, you can go walk out to the corner of a street, hold up a sign like the crazy people say the world's gonna end, and you say, listen to this podcast. If you don't have legs, crawl. Do whatever you can, spread the word. And thank you all for listening. Thank you for coming on. We got another podcast to film after this. It's weird. I'm thinking about renaming the podcast. Jack's Happy Hour. You saw those little table and chairs?
I did.
I'm gonna think about putting like a cocktail. You can't have cocktails, but if you're an adult, you can. If you're like a kid and just drink water, but it go for about like an hour. But you can only really change the name of your podcast once because you don't want people to lose it.
True.
That wouldn't be a good idea because I got to think of something I really like, because once I change this, there's no going back. It's like a little kiddie table. We're going to have like a little kiddie table. Like if you go to a doctor's office, you're about 3 years old, 4 years old, you're going to go into the sixth section and you go sit on that table. That's kind of what it's like. Anyways, thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you guys in the next episode, posted a week after this one. See you later.